is NSCN.
What's wrong, Mommy?
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission.
Something must be wrong with the radio, man.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station.
We
are controlling the transmission. We control the volume.
We will control.
We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass.
We will control.
Or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can roll.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make it.
We can change the focus of a soft sound.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Food!
Or hilarious.
Food! Food!
We can make it stupid.
Here comes the food.
Or moronic. Or moronic. Or moronic.
Food fight!
It's our show. We can do anything we want.
Food's glorious food!
Because this is...
The National Senatorial Network.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to...
The National Cynical Network.
This is violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Live from the Largemouth Bass Fishing Arena in downtown Oakland, California... The National Cynical Network, in association with the Universal Media NetWeb, proudly presents...
Phineas Narcos Super Spectacular Midnight All-Star Celebrity Celebration Gala Fest Extravaganza Thanksgiving Telethon Holiday Special. Starring Woody Allen, Marlon Brando, Tom Cruise, Richard Dreyfuss, Tom Hanks, Quentin Tarantino, The Jerky Boys, Roger Rabbit, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Homer Simpson, Patrick Stewart, Lane Taliaferro, Weasel and Amit Zappa, Sonny and Cher, Roseanne Barr and Tom Arnold, Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan, Ike and Tina Turner, Bob and Doug, Wayne and Garth, Bill and Ted, Ren and Stimpy, Beavis and Butthead.
The comedy stylings of John Wayne Bobbitt, Eric Bogosian, George Carlin, Andrew Dice Clay, Robin Williams, The Kids in the Hall, Gallagher, Whoopi Goldberg, Gilbert Gottfried, The Fire Sign Theater, Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy. Very special guests, Ivan Stan, Casey Kasem, Joe Frank, Waxley Molding, Mr. Chemist, Mr. 115, Wang Tool, C. Elliot Friday, Mr. Chemistry Homework, Metallurgy Man, Al Newport, Negative Land, King's House, and not Ronald Redball. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to announce that we also have musical performances by Devo, Peter Gabriel, Boingo, Genesis, Roger Waters, Guns N' Roses, Bob Dylan, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, The Eagles, Pink Floyd, Weird Al Yankovic, Vangelis, Billy Joel, Wall of Voodoo, Kate Bush, Bon Jovi, David Bowie, Cindy Lauper, Duran Duran, Thomas Dolby, Phil Collins, Prince, Pearl Jam, Spinal Tap, The Who, Madonna, The Tubes, Neil Young and Crazy Horse, U2, and the entire cast of Les Miserables. And now, without further ado, your master of ceremonies, Mr. Omer T. Edge.
Well, good hello, everybody. Oh, boy, have we got a heck of a show for you tonight. Years in the planning, months in the making, and simply millions in the gratuitous payoffs and royalties. Yes, Well, maybe I should just get out of here and let the, thank you. Oh, my pants. Well, and let the real big guy take over. You know, you may have heard him on many subgenius shows or The Hour of Slack or even seen the syndicated PBS video series, Hey, I Thought of That, now available throughout the Earth marketing area. His book, Red Ball Exposed, just hit the top of the bestseller list, and wow. Now, let me be the first to tip my hat to this truly self-made and original thinking star, up from the most unpromising beginnings. That's right. To the top of the UMN celebrity ladder, let's hope you never find it, Phineas. Well, here he is, folks, that bright, scintillating renegade artist and media genius, Phineas Narco.
Good hello, everyone. Please, please, thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for this big, big show? You all ready? You ready? Great. Now, thank you. Thank you. This is going to be a great show. I've been waiting a very long time for this one, let me tell you. I can only thank Mr. Friday for having faith in me all these long months of planning. And of course, I thank all of you, you wonderful people, the little people, who've made me what I am and are here tonight to see me. Thank you. Zip that up. Thank you. I'm very proud of it. I'd show it to you, but I'd have to ask this row to move back. Thank you. But first, seriously now, ladies and gentlemen, before we kick this whole thing off, I want to take the opportunity to make this a little bit more up close and personal. Let's just take a few minutes here and let me answer any questions that you might have. We'll get to the show in a second. Just a minute, Mr. President. So, if you have a question, just raise your hand and... you, sir, in the third row.
Me?
Yes, yes. You.
Yes, Mr. Narco, how come Ronald Redball is not on the show tonight?
Don't ever, ever mention that man's name in my presence again.
I see. Well, thank you.
Is there anyone else? Yes, you, sir, with the glasses. You holding the clipboard.
Yes, Mr. Narco, my name is Mr. Felix Quicksilver, public relations representative from UMN Enterprises Standards and Practices. Is it not a fact that you stole almost this entire show opening outright from Ronald Redball's opening to Over the Edge episode number 418, The Fire Show, and that you are hereby stealing in direct violation and infringement of UMN Appropriations Ethics Code Chapter 15, Section 487, Paragraph 3, Subheading A, and that proper notice of this outright theft of intellectual property was not given nor was intended to be given during the entire course of this current program? Well, look. I see from my logs and field reports, Mr. Narco, that you have made several calls of complaint on several occasions claiming that certain UMN personnel have stolen your ideas. Ideas, I might add, that more often than not were shown by our advisory panel to be well-precedented themes and topics under the purview of UMN's OTE franchise. In fact, Mr. Narco, your relentless harping and countless threats of litigation have been shown to be rather scurrilous and groundless, and despite this, you continue to make them, and now you have the nerve, the gall, to try and foist this creative travesty, this rip-off star-studded show, into a unsuspecting public as if it were something that you put together and thought of.
And? Is there a question somewhere? Now, I may have borrowed Ronald's idea, but it was an homage, you know, it was all in good fun. Besides, it was my idea what's the use? You're right, I'm a phony, a fraud, a pathetic cheat, a dyed-in-the-wool charlatan. I've never had an original thought in my life. It's true, it's true. I don't deserve to call myself an artist or a human being. Oh, the pain, the pain. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I can't go on. Show's over. I'm sorry. Get out of my way.
Maybe he's right. Maybe there is something the matter with me. I just don't see how a world full of such wonderful... Now I'm ripping off Disney's Little Mermaid. Next thing I know, Michael Eisner will be suing me. Since when did art become so legal? Who am I kidding? I'm a wash-up. All I've ever done is rid on the coattails of other people's ideas and trying to cover up that fact by accusing others of stealing mine. The problem is there are no new ideas anymore. Just new rip-off versions of old ideas. Even the idea of this pessimistic internal monologue I stole from Woody Allen's cinematic asides in that last Ronald Redball Halloween show. Damn it! Well, I suppose it could be worse. Could be raining. Great. I even stole that joke from Young Frankenstein. I'm through as an artist. I should just end it all. That'd teach you. I should just go and buy a shotgun and blow my useless head off. Christ, even that's been done before. Kurt Cobain stole that idea from Ernest Hemingway. Jeez, been walking a while now. This isn't such a good part of town. Where the hell is that BART station? Where the hell am I? Somehow I don't think it's a good idea to be walking in this part of Oakland after midnight.
Taxi! Taxi!
You know, it'd just be my luck if some hopped-up, crack-crazed gangbangers came around that corner and caught me in the crossfire of some drive-by vendetta shooting. That would be so typical.
Get out of there! That's gunfire! I'm
sorry, ladies and gentlemen. It's my sad duty to inform you that Phineas Narco has left the building and, apparently he's been killed. I'm afraid this Megastar Celebration telethon will just have to be canceled. So we now join our previously scheduled program, already in progress, Telecrime.
Nothing less than draw and quartering.
Well, televised draw and quartering.
Or worse yet, they should torture him for months before they kill him, you know?
And every week they tune in and show a little
fun. Played alive.
Lady down the block, she had a radio the Johnny wanted oh so bad. So we took her the first chance he had, and then he shot her in the leg. But this is what she said.
Man was found stabbed to death.
Police are searching for suspects in the shooting of a woman.
Robert shot him in the head.
it's coming. You can look for televised executions by the late 80s. It has got to stop.
Man, I'll tell you what, it's just, there seems like the weirdos are, I mean, the really weirdos, the dangerous weirdos are outnumbering the harmless weirdos now.
It's
given a bad name for all weirdos.
Oh, they teach them that shit in public school now.
When Bob takes over, that'll be no more.
They do come out and talk to us.
Can I remind everybody that there are lots of kids that are watching?
Shooting is fun. Shooting is fun.
This is the real Camo. When you get done, you're going to see the real stuff.
George Delgado is the cameraman who recorded the fatal shooting. Ingrid Cruz is the reporter.
The most serious
school official said he was shot by a 15-year-old 10th grader who was described...
who stood inches from the victim.
So what do you
we
say?
Have to be careful.
What do you say?
Part of reality, we have to report reality.
You all right, man?
I'd say the real reason this guy was famous is he had 25 pounds of marijuana in the trunk of that car. He's been thinking about that for 4 hours. The worst thing in his mind would be the police to stop him, and it happened.
I have a staff meeting at 5 o'clock in my newsroom. I told my entire staff that we've got to be careful tonight. I've lived here all my life in this city. I've been through the Watts riots. I've been through the riots in East Los Angeles. We may have difficulty tonight.
The all-seeing power of video is being used regularly for security purposes.
I couldn't believe it. It seemed like something straight out of a movie. It was exciting and scary.
And I start to scream.
It's frightening to me as a person who lives in society. Yes, that's what kids do. And if we better wake up as society and start doing something about it. Because these are just real kids, real run-of-the-mill kids.
Hit me, and I still had a hold of his jacket, but I let it go after he hit me.
What is the law?
Us to spill blood.
And he runs for it out the door, and we ran after him.
What is... Will America ever be...
Telecrime.
Being really sick, but I could not shut my glasses, and even if I tried to move my glass balls about, I still could not get out of the line of fire of this picture.
But why was this guy so loaded, so armed to the hilt?
Get me out. I'm sick.
You have no extra grind, strong and most despicable, doing everything.
Get some energy to be sick.
The shocking story of the adolescent jungle and teenage turmoil in America today.
You are watching what police believe is a mob hit.
So much ammo.
Execution caught on tape.
Could have held off the police for an hour.
Makes it even
The social scientists have their own agenda to...
responsibility to report to Americans what has happened to their society.
The issue is it cheap? Some of us may have said that it was easier to cover a crime story than other things. It is easier to tell that story, but the issue of whether it's expensive or cheap, I think, came from a question rather than something that anyone here generally...
But police believe is a mob hit,
grind,
a triple execution.
Network people only watch the stuff that they produce for their own network.
A man and two women sitting around the dining room table, caught on tape.
And politicians watch very little.
a man and two women sitting around the dining room table. Suddenly, two men carrying guns burst inside. A triple
execution. I think there was something else beyond the carjacks.
Caught on tape. And what makes it even more interesting is that you are watching what police believe is a mob hit. A triple execution caught on tape. And what makes it even more interesting is that a triple execution caught on tape. And what makes it even more interesting is that...
And police say the incident started with a carjacking in Mountain View.
And they should be busy being politicians.
Women...
Said in the 90-second burst of bodyguard journalism, which unfortunately I used.
Found the dining room table.
A frank, shocking revelation of untamed youth, of brutality and immorality. See the startling story of how young rebels of society get lost in a juvenile jungle.
I don't know anymore.
Oh, that was so weird. Oh, that was so weird.
No, I'm standing in the kitchen, carving up the chicken for dinner, minding my own business. In storms my husband Wilbur in a jealous rage.
Oh, that was so weird.
You've been screwing the milkman, he says. He was crazy. And he kept on screaming, "You've been screwing the milkman." And then he ran into my knife. He ran into my knife 10 times.
I remember I was walking in the rain in downtown. My God, the hail of bullets, the gunfire, the screaming, the cold cement rushing up to meet me. My ruined rented tuxedo, I remember now. But if I possibly survive, I should at least be in the hospital. Unless, maybe I didn't survive. Why else would there be this preternatural reverb effect on my voice in this hoary underworld background music from Psychic TV playing? Wait a minute. I think I see a sliver of light up there. Yes. Yes, it's a door. Wow. It's my old dirty little room. But it's not little anymore. It's huge. Why, there must be hundreds, no, thousands of tapes here. Tens of thousands. This is the biggest media collection I've ever seen. Every over-the-edge episode ever on disc in 3D holophonic digital sound. Oh, look at this. All the Casey Kasem and Orson Welles outtakes over recorded. 18 hours of guitar duets with Jimi Hendrix and Frank Zappa. My God, some of this stuff must be from an alternate universe.
Like the new toys, Mr. Narco?
Huh? Mr. Edge, is that you? Hey, this stuff is great. I could play with this stuff forever.
That's good, Mr. Narco, because that's just how long you have.
Really? My God, the drive-by shooting. I was killed, wasn't I? I must be in... This must be...
Heaven? sort of, Mr. Narco. Of a sort. This is media heaven, where media artists go after leaving the violence-ridden landscape of Earth. Here, you'll be able to dupe compile, synthesize, mix, remix, and rework media material for all eternity.
Wow.
But there is a catch.
A catch?
You'll never be able to broadcast, transmit, sell, or otherwise display or share your creations. This is a personal heaven, some might say, a personal hell. You have to access the media treasures of the universe, all to yourself, but only to yourself. After all, Mr. Narco, you wouldn't want to steal anyone else's ideas, would you? You wouldn't want to tread on someone else's copyright, would you? It's illegal.
No! No! No!
If you're ahead of you, or you think that you are living in a more dangerous world.
You can run, but you can't hide.
I was compelled at that time for a few reasons. One, that I felt it was news. That's what we do for a living.
Why was it news?
That whatever, 6 seconds, 8 seconds, whatever that piece was, the entire world wanted it. Japanese, Italian, Polish, I mean, the entire world asked me for that video. I think all for a lot of the same reasons. That was, domestic violence.
Joshua Coleman, like other victims, pretended to be dead.
And your next door neighbor, in the same general gender, class, income, education, same neighborhood, but a light viewer, the most pervasive effect are those of insecurity, dependence on authority, demand for protection, and a kind of accommodation to the idea that violence is the norm.
A few years before that, the case in Killeen, Texas.
Police said there was no apparent motive for the murders.
We all remember the McDonald's massacre.
Puberty simply walked in, ordered people to get down, and then fired.
Are loners.
It's just a terrible thing. It's the worst tragedy I've ever seen in my life.
But you know, even with the 101 California street shooting, we thought there was two gunmen.
Hope to God I never see it again.
And this often is the case because there's such rapid fire.
It is just, it's a very, very sad thing and such a waste of human life that you just cannot comprehend it.
We're talking about almost 300 rounds.
It doesn't look real.
30 minutes of this constant shooting, it gives the impression that there could be two.
We have had a lot of violent cases in recent years, but this one is very strange. The bulletproof vests, all of these guns, all of this ammunition. What do you make of all of that?
What is the law?
We're convinced mass murders are rising dramatically in large part because American society has changed.
Well prepared. All that ammo, six assault weapons. These guys were prepared for war, and that's exactly what happened for 25 minutes.
And become increasingly isolated from family and community.
Probably we're not even aware that he
had come into contact with this individual.
In Huberty's case, Levin believes when the family left Ohio, Huberty fatally set himself adrift.
Controlled America, not to be believed, shocking. We still talk about it today.
You walk up to him, just point the gun at him, shoot him. And then you can see that. You walk up to him, point the gun and shoot. And he was as fast as he could pull the trigger, shooting.
The standard is low.
We had some video of the victims. It's not pleasant to look at, but it is part of the story, unfortunately.
Pull out another clip, stick it in.
Does it seem a little unusual then that they would just start to do this war out in the middle of a street?
The madman today, by reports, had 14 gun clips. And was able to spray and spray and spray.
Is the law.
And kill.
According to James Fox, guns play a critical role in the rise of mass murder.
We had some video of the victims. It's not pleasant to look at, but it is part of the story, unfortunately.
While the shooting has stopped and the suspect is reportedly dead, the story continues to unfold.
On a particular kind of suspect.
Well, they might have been en route to somewhere else.
Local mental hospital and found one man who had left without permission.
In terms of trying to kill a lot of people. Perhaps a restaurant, maybe to settle some dispute. But the gun distances the killer from his victim.
And the facts continue to change.
What? If he had to kill with his hands, he may be deterred.
Except somebody just threw something at me, so I think we kind of attract some of this attention too. We'll be moving out of here soon, Pam.
But it's all too easy with the gun. Just pull the little trigger and the bolts come out and they're dead.
From guns in the home, to carjacking, to child abduction.
They don't care who they kill, so long as they kill a lot of people. The more people who die, the sweeter the revenge. Around the peninsula and the one up in San Francisco.
Yes, we need an ambulance. There's an employee in the Dearborn Post Office shooting.
Mike, there was one report that we actually haven't told our viewers about yet that said that there was perhaps another potential carjacking at this scene before this thing happened.
A lady with hands full of clothing.
We have become used to it. Seems like these are only too familiar. Greeting families and friends of the victims. Flowers in quiet remembrance of so many dead.
This is a tale of family betrayal, of cold-blooded murder.
In a momentary hail of bullets,
murder,
followed by hours of fear and terror,
has become an American tragedy.
It's a horrible thing to say, but we've got so many murders in this country. There's no epidemic, but we kind of cornered the market. And when people in England or in Chile or in Holland want to understand mass killing, they come to the United States.
In the meantime, many people consider taking up arms to protect themselves from massacres like the one in Killeen, Texas.
If just one lady had had my purse and her weapon in Killeen, maybe only one or two people have been dead instead of 22.
I think I would use it. I hope I don't ever have to.
When driving along, one of these gunmen apparently tried to take his car. The driver slammed the door shut and sped away safely.
In fact, the widespread fear of mass murder is perhaps out of proportion to the actual threat.
It's that kind of compelling video, in my opinion, that gets people to do something to motivate you. What is the video we saw tonight that is graphic, the Somalia video? It makes you do something. You know, yes, it forces government to sit around and go, we got to do something right away.
There may be 200 or 300 people a year who are victims of mass killers. Now that number is too large, but that number also pales by comparison with the many thousands of single victim homicides in this country.
The solution indeed may be out of reach.
It means we would have to reduce our unemployment rate to almost zero. Widespread counseling for people who are in trouble and make sure they get it. We're not gonna do those things.
We looked at it, rewound it, and saw that it did show the assault on the barrel.
Well, what's unusual in this case is that why were these guys so well prepared for this shootout? I mean, the typical carjack is to take the car and they're off.
There's one violent run every 70 seconds.
What are we doing?
From property
crime
every 2 seconds.
From
murder every 21 minutes.
Horrible deeds that people do to each other just fascinate us.
People are afraid of other people who don't look like them. It shows people's behavior. It tells them, hey, gang violence, get the gun. Do you realize what happened after that Long Island shootout? People wanted to know, oh, that was a great gun. Man, that thing killed people like that.
Maybe we can.
Okay.
Excuse me, you with the dreadlocks. Would you put your hands in the air, please?
Yes, sir.
All right, move away from the car. Move away from the car, please.
Yeah, but that,
No, just move away from the car, please.
But Mr. Carl missed me.
Turn around slowly.
Okay.
Turn around slowly, thank you. Keep your hands in the air. Yes, thank you. Just a routine check here. Okay, now bend.
Officer, that's... That's uncalled for, officer.
Hey, just keep your hands in the air, pal. Now, reach, stretch for your ankles. I want to call the precinct and have them all come on down.
Oh,
here.
Man. Yes, amazing. Bring them all over. Bring the whole precinct.
We have a 10:15 at the 7-Eleven at 12th and 34th. Occurred at 12:45. And we have the store attendant bending over and grabbing his ankles, and we're photographing the area.
We're talking to the kitty. We're trying to find out from the kitty just what happened.
Stand by while I'll check what happened. Here, Central. Stand by, over.
Well, maybe Cher can explain all this.
The suspect's been over. Okay, now put the lawn over the law into the rectum. Okay, now pull out the.
No, no, that's not how it goes.
No.
Lingering at the tattered fringe of your consciousness. Flooding your awareness with bold new waves of sound, sweeping you inexorably toward grand new vistas of being.
The National Cynical Network.
National, yeah, this National Cynical Network.
NationalCynical.com.
Action, passion, crime, and danger. Friday.
Viewers clearly believe that's what they're seeing.
Well, I think that's the past. This is the present and the future. Online video, power to the people, that's what this is about.
The greatest challenge to the plantation mentality of the media giants is the innovation and expression made possible by the digital revolution. I may still prefer the newspaper for its investigative journalism and in-depth analysis, but we now have it in our means to tell a different story from big media, our story. The other story of America that says free speech is not just corporate speech, that news is not just what officials tell us, and we're not just chattel in the fields living the boss man's story. This is the great gift of the digital revolution, and you must never, never let them take it away from you.
Now we start to look at the child as both a consumer and a producer of media, and we look at the ramifications that has in their lives.
We're not really just consumers anymore. We're also making things. We're putting stuff out there, whether it's just a Facebook profile or something more complex.
Narratives where the reader plays a role in shaping the story.
A video or an art piece.
Interactive online spaces.
Anything that I might put on the internet. So rather than just asking questions of creators, we're now also having to ask questions about ourselves.
What do we need to participate? What skills do we need now?
One example of skill might be judgment, where you find some information online and you need to be able to decide whether that information is reliable or not.
Negotiation means knowing how to enter into different groups and different spaces and knowing how to understand what the different norms are.
Appropriation, how do I remix and sample content in a meaningful way?
One of my favorite skills is play, which we define as the capacity to experiment with your surroundings as a form of problem solving.
Transmedia navigation.
Simulation.
Collective intelligence.
Performance.
Distributed cognition.
And visualization.
Multitasking.
They're not just skills for the classroom, and they're not just skills for the workplace. They're skills that involve creative expression. They're skills that involve citizenship. They're skills that connect people together at something larger than the individual levels.
Learning new skills, new competencies to make really great things and be full participants. Oh, that was so weird. Grr.
I am your stereotype. ABC on TV. Your get down clown that never frowns. The most dangerous thought on TV.
Oh, that was so weird.
I am your stereotype. ABC on TV. I represent the lies as you generalize. The most dangerous thoughts on TV.
Oh, that was so weird.
In London, workers within the media became so frustrated at the BBC's reporting of the conflicts that they held demonstrations outside the studios. They argued that the broadcaster has taken a bias towards the government line.
People who work in the media really need to earn the right to call themselves journalists again after the way that they've reported the events of the last month. A lot of them have just turned themselves into part of the government propaganda machine, unquestioningly using phrases like war on terrorism without questioning what they mean. I mean, war has a specific meaning under the Hague Convention.
In New York, reporters who have felt alienated by the mainstream news agenda have gone beyond just demonstrating and have created their own broadcasting outlets.
The new media literacies are a set of skills that everybody needs to deal with our culture today.
To function in the current media environment.
With the internet, with cell phones.
How to interact with information and with culture.
With just the pace of life, which is very different now than it was 20 years ago.
They're the things they need to know to become creative artists, to become citizens, to become workers in the future.
In the past, media literacy was all about trying to get consumers of media to think critically about what they were watching.
Large numbers of people were receiving media messages that were created by a small number of producers.
Business model just means how do you make money?
How do you make enough money?
Let's cut to the quick here.
How do you make enough money and where's the balance of power? Online ad revenue growing much faster than legacy media ad revenue, but still only a portion of it.
How do you see that? How are people looking to create a business model or make money out of this?
Well, the central question has been for years, who is going to pay for basic news gathering? Who's going to pay for all of those newsroom functions that we've associated with a traditional newspaper or a large broadcast news operation? Right now, the online revenues don't support that, which is why newspapers in particular are beginning to feel it in a very acute way. But Mary Hodder's example was an interesting one, the UCLA taser incident. That shows not just citizen journalism or public journalism or user content, but also gets to something that Dan Gilmore, formerly of the San Jose Mercury News, liked to refer to when he said, "My readers know more than I do." There's an example of students with cell phones actually uncovering news. And what does the Los Angeles Times do if you're the Los Angeles Times? For that matter, what do local stations in Los Angeles do?
Right.
Do you embrace it? Do you try to keep it at arm's length? That's really the microcosm of what's going on very broadly in the industry and in the business.
As well as distributing their reports across the United States and Canada, they also gain a far wider audience through the internet.
The media has become the most powerful force in shaping public opinion, as well as just among the most powerful corporations in the world. And now they're beating a drum for war, and we run counter to that.
As corporations take a tighter control of the mass media, some journalists believe that business links could affect their reporting.
Yeah, I was gonna hop in there. You know, the thing is that I think it would be extremely bad for the democracy if legacy media went away. We couldn't have that, and we need it. Whether it's for reporting, and it's very expensive, of course, to do investigative and, you know, worldwide journalism, or whether it's, you know, creating the Desperate Housewives TV show. I mean, these things are really expensive. I think what you're really getting at around business media, business models, is that in the media, we've developed models that support these very expensive creation tools, as it were. And what we're doing now in terms of transforming to the web is going from an eyeball model to something where attention is the currency of the web. And so when you start to rethink what advertising means in terms of attention, you can parse who someone is or what they're about without invading their privacy in interesting ways, and actually do something very different. So the old model was, let's throw ads up either in the investigative journalism report, the documentary, or Desperate Housewives, right? And we just spray the entire audience with an ad, and whether or not it's relevant to them, they get it. What's really interesting about the internet is that you have the opportunity to have sort of an opt-in model where people who are really interested in something can opt in, and there's a sponsorship kind of model that can be attached to that. And what, you know, it's all a big question right now, I think, about whether or not advertisers and brand managers will be willing to shift from that broadcast spray model to something where you know they can connect up with the 1,000 most important users for their brand and potentially enlist those folks as partners, folks who can give them good feedback, whatever, and in effect sponsor the creation of the content that is so expensive to make.
Look at this room, full of neat stuff. Can you tell me how much stuff is enough? Wouldn't you think I'm the guy who has everything? Look at this room, treasures untold. How much equipment can one bedroom hold? Looking around here, you'd think, sure, he's got everything. I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. I've got who's its and what's its galore. You want reverb machines? I've got 20. But who cares? No big deal. I want more. I want to play at KPFA. I want to be there mixing, playing around with those, what do you call them? Oh, carts. I want to be up there by the bay. I've got some shows that I'm fixing up now, mixing it up with that hip crowd of liberal farts. Want to be there, cause they don't care what kind of crap that you put on the air. Simple and free, wish I could be part of that world. What would I give if I could live out of this bedroom? Think that I might just spend a night right on the air. Bet you up there they let you swear there's no delay on KPFA. Bright young DJs in their PJs say what they may. They have so much fun at the studio, punching in collars and cueing records, talking so much on their, what's the word, mic. Bet you I'd like to take a hike or even ride up there on my bike. I could be me, and I could be part of that world. Oh, Mr. Edge, I've learned my lesson. Please, let me go back. Take me back. I want to live, I tell you, live. I want to live and laugh and learn and love, and I've learned my lesson.
Yes, Mr. Narco, what have you learned?
I've learned that ideas, art, concepts, whatever you want to call them, belong to everyone. That no one has a corner on the creativity market. Life is a gift that should be savored. I mean, we all just go around on this crazy mixed up world but once, and after it's all over and said and done, worrying about who thought of what or what belongs to who is just so meaningless. Art should be about the precious joy and love of creating. It's not a commodity or a good or a franchise to be bought, sold, and owned. I've learned that the modern artist should be free in his pursuit of excellence and expression and have free and open access to all the media fruits that the bountiful tree of our popular culture bears. And that found sound could be a potent, cogent force for commenting on the media from which it has come. A force for good, a force for the soulful betterment of our aesthetic sensibilities, and a tool for attaining a higher level of cultural consciousness. And damn it, just putting on a real fine show. I've learned that just like the air we all breathe belongs to us, so do the airwaves, and that, well, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. This culture is the people's culture, and we all have a right to create it, remake it, and interpret it as well as consume it. I've learned that, like ideas, media belongs to the masses and is ours to copy, share with others, and damn it, use as we see fit. And if it's interesting, informative, entertaining, enlightening, and gosh, even edifying, it's good enough that it's out there, enriching the lives of others. It's the idea that counts, Mr. Edge, not the source. I see that as truer now more than ever. Copyright violation is mankind's best entertainment value. The proof is in the pudding, Mr. Edge. The medium is the message. I thank you.
Phineas, that's the biggest, most stupid pile of pretentious crap I've ever heard. Now, try it again.
I've learned that there's no place like home, and that if I ever go searching for my heart's desire, to travel no further than my own backyard.
That's right, Dorothy. There's no place like home.
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 There's no place,
there's
like,
no
home.
Place like home.
There's no place like home.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Phineas!
There's no place like home. There's no place like...
Phineas, wake up.
Mr. Edge, you're here.
That's right, Phineas.
I'm here. I'm back. I'm alive.
That's right. You got caught in some gunfire on the street in downtown Oakland. Fortunately, you just got your head grazed by a bullet and got knocked out. Unfortunately, though, 18 other innocent bystanders plus 3 homeless battered children were killed.
Oh, thank God. That's one... Oh, I'm sorry to hear about the other people. But, Mr. Edge, I went to another place, another world, media heaven, and you were there. And Mr. Friday was there, and Mr. 115, and Mr. Chemistry Homework, and Al Newport and Wang Tu were there. They were all there, at least on tape. Thank God Ronald wasn't, though.
Looks like you got a bump on your head and had quite a dream, young man.
Oh, but it wasn't a dream. It was a real place. Some of it was scary, but a lot of it was wonderful. I'm so glad to be back, though. Hey, I've got this great idea for a show in light of my recent experiences. A telecrime show full of violence and action,
Phineas,
and lots of cool rock songs and neat effects.
Phineas.
Sounds of gunfire and rock and great rap songs and reverb effects.
Phineas.
Simulmixing clips from TV shows and LA riot news footage and movies.
Phineas.
And what?
Phineas.
What?
It's been done.
Oh, Mr. Edge, there's no place like home.
You have been listening to Telecrime, Part 2 of 2, of Episode 22 of Needle in the Red, produced by Phineas Anarcho and the National Cynical Network, featuring Don Joyce of Negative Land.
Get Down was performed by the Emergency Broadcast Network.
The National Cynical Network home site is at www.nationalcynical.com. Thanks for listening.
This is NCN.